You might be just minding your own business, kind of wandering along the street, and suddenly you come across someone taking a survey. They're asking you your opinions. Maybe it's a political one, or maybe it's a film crew that is, you know, trying just to get the voice of the people, trying to get a vox pop. How do you react in that situation? What do you like at coming up with that quick and snappy answer to sometimes some of life's most profound questions? When Peter is confronted with this in the gospel today, he does pretty well, you know, by being able to make that declaration of faith about who Jesus is. And it's quite interesting that Jesus, just like last week's gospel, we heard him going on a road trip, walking a long way around. So also today in the gospel, Jesus takes them from Galilee all the way up to the very north of the land of Israel, to the foothills of Mount Hermon, which is still the highest mountain and the normally covered in snow. You know, it's over 3,000 meters high. And there at the foothills is where the River Jordan comes from. There are a series of springs around Barnaeus, and there the water begins to bubble up and form what becomes the River Jordan, and of course helped by the snowmelt. But it's a pagan place. There in the rocks that surround the bottom of the mountain are all kinds of different shrines dedicated to the Greek and Roman gods, and all kinds of weird and awful practices, you know, were engaged in there. So it's interesting that that's the backdrop for when Jesus asks this question. And the easy one first: who do people say that I am? You know, it's easy to give other people's opinions. We can all do that. But when it comes to ourselves, when it comes to the question of, well, what about you? Who is Jesus for you? And it can be quite confronting, because we've often just relied on the answers of others. We've often just taken whatever it was that our parents or our teachers or the priests or sisters or whoever it was who presented their faith to you, and we've just taken hold of that and stored it away, and we can regurgitate that. But Jesus is asking for something more today. But you, who do you say that I am? And it doesn't have to be a theologically articulate answer that we give. It doesn't have to tick any of the boxes of the catechism. It can simply be just an expression of what I've experienced, what I've encountered, the way that I know Jesus to be. But we all need to make that answer, just as Jesus last week took the man who was deaf and wasn't able to speak off by himself to get that personal encounter. Jesus always invites us into that one-on-one encounter. And so if we went there, if we went off into a quiet place where it's just me and him, where he's just there, perhaps we've been walking a while, perhaps we've sat down under the shade of a tree, what will we say? How will we reply to him at that moment in that question? Surely there aren't many questions that are more significant than that one. What about you? Who do you say I am? What's your sense of relationship? Has it changed over the years? You know, when you were a seven-year-old and all you had was the answers of others, what about when you were a teenager or then in your early 20s? Or how has that answer kind of changed? How has your relationship with the Lord changed over the course of your life? There's been undoubtedly a whole lot more suffering as you've gone through life. There's been all kinds of things that have questioned you or made you really challenge some of those ideas that you just so easily accepted when you were younger. And all of that's completely fine. All of that is just what happens when we move through life, when we begin to kind of question. But through it all, Jesus is there. And through it all, Jesus continues to be available to us, to address us, and to invite us more deeply into that personal encounter. It won't be easy. He tells us that. And like Peter, we can really struggle with that belief. You know, when it says that Peter began to remonstrate with him, the Greek there is the same language that we've heard earlier for when Jesus would cast out demons from people. So Peter is trying to exorcise Jesus, try to cast out this demon of suffering, because none of us like suffering. None of us want to imagine that that's what our life is going to be about. You know, Jesus says that's the way of discipleship. The natural path that we will follow is the way that involves us and invites us more deeply into taking up the cross of the Lord. But even so, he will be there. Even so, he will continue to be present to us in whatever way makes sense for us. And that might change, that might morph over time, and all of that is so entirely fine. Like, one of the gifts of the 12-step programs is that they invite you simply to have faith and belief, not in any specific God, but in the God of your own understanding. And it's a powerful thing because it can kind of remove all of the religious stuff that we can build up and prevent us from having that actual encounter with love, with God, with goodness, with grace, with mercy. But we're invited into that authentic friendship with the Lord. And sometimes there's all kinds of stuff that can get in the way of us. And so Jesus is presenting that question to us, inviting us into a deeper place beyond all of those categories. If the categories are helpful, you can hold on to them. But if they're not, you have the freedom to let go in order that we can embrace him, in order that he can be the one and only one, that he can be the one that is inviting us more fully and more completely into that friendship and into that life that changes us. It will involve taking up the cross. It will involve the way of suffering. But with him by our side, with him walking along us, with him loving us and freeing us, then we can continue to do that and find the freedom that we need to say yes, and that we can answer more completely and more fully that profound question of who he is for us today.